Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Wide open Wednesday on the Mike O'Mara Show, all about you for at least a few minutes here. And it's requiring all of my self-discipline because we actually have a special guest in studio, one of Oscar's classmates. And, oh, you know, when you don't have to write down questions.
Right.
Because they come out of your pores, you know. But I'm going to exercise a little self-discipline and get right to the phone calls because, you know what, I didn't promote it today. Rob, did you promote it today?
Yes, I did.
Okay, would you put one out last night?
I did one first thing this morning, 5 o'clock.
Just a nice reminder, Mike. A nice reminder for everybody.
Didn't I mention it maybe on Monday and
Tuesday? You mentioned it
every day. The lines are locked, Mike. The lines are locked.
Locked and loaded? That's good. Okay, let's get right to the phones. Hello. Mike O'Mara Show, you are on the show. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Merle Rogers. How are you?
Merle.
How are you? Nice to hear from you. How are you doing today?
Not bad. I'm preparing for my trip down to D.C. this weekend.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to mention it's a live show week. We are all going to be at the D.C. Improv on Saturday for a big live show and then walking across the street to the D.C. To the Mad Hatter.
You know, Merle,
Hatter
if you're
a meet and greet.
Merle, if you're in town, you should come to the show.
You know, I might. You know, I think I'm just.
Right, is that your? Are you doing?
That's
is that rock?
Waka,
is that
mob? Waka,
is that mob
waka.
Stick?
Waka waka waka.
It's not mob stick. How is that mob stick? That's general
that's
stick.
Your humor. That's your. That's not funny.
General stick.
That's general
that's
stick.
That's that. How would you? What would you describe that comedy as? Other than just really just completely like old fart 80-year-old uncle crap. What would you describe that kind of humor? You come into the show. Hey, I'm coming down to D.C. You coming to the show?
What it is, Mike, it's called
That's
irony.
That's like the Albert Brooks laugh after that.
But you see, the thing is she's obviously coming to the show. She's one of our biggest fans. That's why she's coming. Restating
you
the
obvious.
You got
to turn your microphone up, too, again.
Irony, Mike. It's irony.
I know we checked it before the show, but now it sounfar away.
Irony.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
And this is with all due respect. And you know I always ask the best questions after that.
Yes, and I love respect.
Yes.
Do you turn down your volume every day, or are you slowly weakening with your pneumonia?
I'm perishing,
3-month bout of pneumonia.
I'm perishing is what's happening.
Mike, we have a Justice has adjusted his mic for his bout with bronchitis. We have done that.
Yes.
All right, very good.
So
all
it
right.
is adjusted. Now, today may be a different level of bout, so we'll have to adjust that on a regular basis.
I heard it before. We all hear it before, and I just want to make sure, you know, between you and me that we both make it through the live show. How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. I feel good.
Okay, really?
Yes.
Great would not be the word that you use great. Great is the adjective you use more than any other.
Well, great is not perfect.
I think he's good because I see him off air and off mic, and he's good. He's not great, but he's solid. Right. He's good.
But but for me, that's great.
That I'll take a good Rob over a great Rob any day because a great Rob, something else is coming.
Merle Rogers, how do you think Rob's doing?
Well, you know, Rob is why we can't have nice things, but he's doing okay.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Even Merle gets it.
I love when they call in and make jokes.
Is Merle the lady that came in right after like my first day back after my recovery?
Yes.
Yeah. The cougar. Yeah.
Sunny day.
Yeah,
great memory. How you doing, Merle?
Pretty good. I've spared no expense. I've booked everything for this weekend. Right down to my lift, down to the D.C. Improv.
Oh, you're the best.
Beautiful McLean, Virginia.
McLean. That's where Mr. Clean's from.
McLean. Merle, we are looking forward to seeing you and a few hundred of our favorite people, and it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a great day. It's got we've been putting the finishing touches on our live show. It's going to be huge and a very nice surprise just for the people in the D.C. Improv.
So, yes.
Huge. Huge.
We're looking forward to that. We'll see you when you come down here, Merle.
All righty. Have fun, guys.
Thanks,
okay,
Merle.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. There she goes. Very nice lady. Very big supporter of the show for many, many years. Hello, Mike O'Mara Show. You're on the air.
Hey, Dan.
Take your time, sir.
Yes.
How you doing?
Oh, how you doing?
Trouble, Mike. Trouble.
Yeah, this is trouble.
How you doing?
Oh, no.
How you doing?
I don't think it's the real guy.
Rob, a little show history.
Please.
Shut up for a second. Turn him down. So a little show history with the
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, you'd have to go back probably about 10 years for this guy, and it would be the how you doing guy. But I don't think this is the real how you doing guy. Although he's aged 10 years, the voice sounds older. I think what we might be dealing with here is when the Brady Bunch came back and did a variety show after the show was canceled, and everybody came back except Jan, so they had a fake Jan on the variety show. I think this is fake how you doing guy. I'm just predicting.
Well, we should ask him a few more questions.
He's back on the line, Mike.
Now, if he's real, Mike, he will only answer by saying...
Hey, don't tell him what to do.
All right.
Don't give him the blueprint. Jesus Christ. Hello. Where are you from?
How you doing?
See, I don't think so.
No, all right. Because how are you doing?
Rob, can I just ask him some questions,
yes, please?
You looking forward to the World Series tonight?
How you doing?
That's close. That's closer. Let me ask this. You know, we're less than a week away from the huge election. What say ye? Be an elephant or a donkey? What are you?
All
right, listen, since we spoke last, many years have passed. How are you doing in the new economy? Are the wife and kids okay?
You doing?
I'll tell you, if it's a ripoff, I'm enjoying it. I truly am. Now, Rob, you can ask him some questions.
All right. Have you watched the show Friends a lot since we've last spoke?
Yeah. How you doing?
That's a no.
Yeah.
A no.
Yeah.
Oscar's got a question.
Sir, have you recently rediscovered the Mike O'Mara show?
Hey, Dad.
Good question. How are you finding the show? And this is the biggest question. This may be the last one. How are you finding the show in its new form, sir?
How you doing?
That's a good thing. That's wonderful.
Nice.
That's fantastic. Well, hey, listen, we can take some more calls now because we're really done talking to you. Any final words for the Mike O'Mara Show listening audience, sir?
How you doing?
Thank you, Rob. I don't care if it's a ripoff. It's recreated, and I thought it worked.
You know what it is? He's reinvented himself. He's reimagined the bit.
Now, the original guy was kind of more like, "Hi, get there."
Yeah, and also he never did the Joey from Friends, "How you doing?" So I wanted to know if that was a new update to the canon or just something that he's blown.
Who knows?
But, who knows?
We'll never know. Hello, Mike O'Mara Show. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's Bill from Boston.
Bill from Boston.
Bill, how are you today?
Good. I'm doing fine. I'm calling to say hi.
Are you in your car?
I'm in my truck. I drive a truck.
Remember?
You're in your truck.
Long-haul trucker?
On a speakerphone?
I'm sorry. I have to. Yeah, I can't be.
It's the law, Mike.
Yeah, I know. It's just he sounds so far away. Sound okay to you guys? That's fine. I can live with it. What super slab are you on right now, Bill?
The Mac Pike.
Oh, God, yeah, keep both hands on the wheel. Oh, my God. Bill in Boston, what can we do for you?
I just, you know, calling to say hi, excited about the show. My cousin and I are making the drive down for the third time.
No, that's great.
That's so cool.
Cool.
That's fantastic.
Cool.
We will single you out and for some special quality time coming all the way down from New England. We're very, very excited. People calling in all week long and sending me messages coming from all over the fruited plain, and we are planning a very, very big party, and we're excited about it. So thanks a lot, Bill, and drive safely, okay?
No problem. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
How you doing?
How you
anyway,
doing?
I'm sorry. That was my favorite part of the
Can't wait to try to explain this call to someone and say, wait. You remember Friends? They're like, yeah. And then remember the Mike O'Mara Show? Yeah. I was like, think about this call if it was 10 years ago and imagine how it ruled today.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that I remember on the old Don and Mike Show, those phone calls, that guy went from we hated him. Then we liked him and we thought he was funny. Then he overstayed his welcome.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then like we'd be in the middle of a really good phone scan or we'd be on some incredible riff that was really going well. And he'd call in and just go,
"Hi, Don."
Yeah.
And it wouldn't. But Oscar kind of indicates it as it's new to Oscar. It kind of indicates the comedy value of that guy.
Perhaps the man himself has matured.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, you never can tell.
You're hoping he's like 85 and ready to
That's
die.
That's what I'm hoping, yeah. Right, like the creepy guy on the Family Guy.
Let's take another phone call. By the way, let's give the phone number out. That might be a professional thing to do. The phone lines are open at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. This is Wide Open Wednesday. You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mike, Rob, and Oscar. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, look at this guy.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Sorry, it's on my brain. I can't get rid of it. What can we do for you, sir?
Oh, not much, actually. I just wanted to give a shout-out to my brother-in-law, Kevin Enter. He just got out of the hospital 3 days ago from back surgery, and he's recovering nicely.
Are you from the upstate New York area or the Midwest?
New York, upstate New York.
Upstate New York. You know why I was able to discern that? Back surgery.
Ah.
He got done with back surgery. By the way, that word down here for the Midwesterners that are all coming back from the North, it's like, when did you get back? When did you get back? You're back. You're back. Oh, so glad you're back. I'm glad. Don't back up over the trash bags.
Sounds if like Mike back, is in love if, with that accent.
If you back, oh, love it more than anything
I
else.
Know.
Now, you know, when you're backing up in your driveway, the trash bags have to be on the side so you don't back up to them. That's great. Glad you're back. But I'm glad your brother's doing well. Did he have a major back surgery or was it a laser procedure? What kind of back surgery did he have?
The doctor of 35 years said it was the biggest hernia he had ever seen in his life.
Oh, herniated disc. Painful.
Ow.
Man.
They fix him up pretty good?
He's a lot happier now.
Oh, that's good.
Happy.
Good for him. Good for him. Well, will you do me a favor when you speak to your brother next? Have him drop me a line and just send me a quick email explaining what it must be like to have successful surgery. All right? Would you do that?
No problem, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. All right.
One more, Mike?
Another one? Let's take one more and then we'll go to break. Hello, Mike O'Mara Show.
Turn down your computer, stereo, radio, iPod, whatever you got.
Smart.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Brian from Spokane, Washington.
Ooh. Ah, the great state of Washington. How you doing in Spokane today?
Good. I'm not a morning person. This is early for me.
Thanks for making the effort.
Yeah,
we appreciate the call. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I'm getting ready. I am a band director. I'm getting ready to take my jazz band to a jazz festival today.
Oh, man, nice. I love that. That means you guys, these are the real superstars in your college band. I mean, in your high school band, right?
Well, middle school, little guys.
You know what? Can I ask a question? Because, listen, my daughter's middle school orchestra director was absolutely stellar. A guy that I play golf with down here was a middle school band director, and another guy that was just they gave him like the Mr. Holland treatment when he retired.
Yeah,
and I've heard from my good friend Colonel Colburn, former director of the President's Own. He told me that, you know, these middle school band directors, not only are you really like still teaching the kids to the way around their instruments, but they get this sound out of them. And, you know, to have a jazz band in middle school, that to me is pretty cool. So how good are these kids?
Well, I have two groups. My first group is pretty darn good. My second group is about 40 members strong, and I've got clarinets and flutes and everything in there, and it's a little wild.
You know what? I tell you, it's people like you, I have nothing but admiration for you working with those kids, because I want to find out if you're like my daughter's guy, Mr. Tester. I'll give him a plug here. Mr. Tester had 6th, 7th, and 8th. Do you have 6th, 7th, and 8th?
Yes, I do.
Oh, God.
Wow.
You realize what a saint this guy is. He's got three full classes. Do you do, now when you do your performances, say in the spring and the holiday concerts, do you have separate orchestras or separate bands for every single class, or are you maybe lucky enough to be able to put them all together?
I've got three different concert bands and two different jazz bands and an elementary band.
Each
one is about 30 to 40 members.
These guys are incredible. These guys are absolutely, and he knows. I happen to know my way around this because I'm one of my best friends is one of the greatest band directors of all time, Michael Colburn, Colonel Colburn. Yeah, go ahead, Oscar.
Mr. Holland is today's trip one of those days where you're like, today is a two bong hit day because I got to deal with all these rascals when I get to school.
Maybe when I get home.
Nice.
There you
not
go.
Necessarily before the trip.
Great state of Washington,
yeah,
Mike.
During the trip, do you turn your head about alcohol abuse? Do you let the 6th, 7th,
yeah,
and 8th
for
grade?
Middle school,
how
sure.
You, you
yeah,
went too far.
Hey, let me ask you this. What is your instrument, Mr. Band Director?
Like you, I'm a drummer.
Another percussionist,
look
man.
At that.
I also gig about 4 to 5 nights a week.
A working musician.
Oh, man. And
very cool.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 38.
Oh,
38.
You're still
that
young.
Means,
you're still young,
the,
my friend.
The kids get you, you know, if you don't get the better offer, you know, and realize the dream. Mr. Holland was always trying to get the the next great symphony, right? That's the way that went down. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, what can we do for you? We've been flapping our gums about your job. What do you want from us?
I was going to tell you, and Rob, I actually stole your idea this year for Halloween, and I gave out liquor bottles to parents, and it was the most fun I've ever had on Halloween.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
Good man.
Bravo.
Oh, Oscar's, yeah.
By the way, Oscar will have a post-Halloween update
breaking
for
news
us.
Update. Breaking,
breaking news.
News
update. Well, you know, what's your first name again, my friend?
Ryan.
Ryan, God bless you. You're doing great work with those kids
Ryan
out there.
Ryan Opus.
And you're fantastic, and I hope you get that gig that transports you out of those smelly kids' classrooms. Good luck to you.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Brian.
Doing the
That's
Lord's
right.
work.
Oh, man, I swear to God, I haven't ever had 3 classes, 6th graders, 7th
Brian.
Graders, 8th graders. Holiday time comes around. I mean, really, let's get the kids out there.
And
That's
there
fantastic.
Is no greater dick age for kids than 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Yeah. I mean, I think those are probably having some trouble.
The purest
them.
Age.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of dickery.
I don't know. I heard that if you go on after college to get an MBA, you can get some a dick factor in that, too. We'll take a break.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
How did you, get into financial consulting?
Department of Labor statistics indicate it's one of the fastest growing professions. Actuarial sciences are experiencing tremendous growth as well.
Okay. I like the balance of it. You know, I like finding things that aren't obvious. Plus, my dad was an accountant. He actually, you know, you have the whole shtick. The little amortization book and the green eye shade and the, like, dorky pocket protector and...
I have a pocket protector.
That's a nice one. I mean, his was dorky. That's... Yours is nice. But he convinced me to go into the field because I wanted to study art at the Art Institute of Chicago, but art doesn't pay the mortgage. Art doesn't pay the mortgage, young lady. Dad's taste ran more to dogs playing poker.
I like dogs playing poker. Because dogs would never bet on things, and so it's incongruous. I like incongruity.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We're live from the Pfeiffer Room in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. On the air and online everywhere, the Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio and internet broadcast with the greatest listeners in the universe because they get it. I'm pushing my voice a little bit. If you're here, you will too. Our phone line's always open at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. When we're on, you can call us anytime. Our show today, welcome back, Blue Apron.
Yay!
My wife still going crazy over the Blue Apron, and I've been eating Blue Apron all summer and into the fall. Here's something to remember the next time you cook a meal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients taste better, and they're better for you. That's why Blue Apron is the better way to cook. Blue Apron makes incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron has the highest quality standards because they ship the perfect amounts. You don't waste food. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients that make delicious home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less. When it comes to variety, flexibility, and ease, you can't beat Blue Apron, whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes. Mm. Had some of those tomatoes yesterday. This month, you could be enjoying pan-seared chicken with roasted fall vegetables and butter caper sauce. Mmm! Or spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir-fry with sweet potato noodles. Listen to all these things, yes, I've never heard of before. They're fantastic. This also helps you learn about food and learn about healthy food. How about lemongrass roasted pork with Roman secco cauliflower and coconut rice? I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Wow.
I ate it. I remember it. It's to die for. Check out this week's menu and get three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Good phone calls in the opening segment.
Oh, a lot of fun.
Love it.
A lot of fun.
That was
great energy going
fun.
Into the live show weekend.
Yeah, a lot of people excited, I think.
Won't get happy. Something will go wrong, but great energy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just...
I don't know.
I'm just in this incredible malaise lately with not being able to get out there and do what I want to do and all that crap. But, you know, I'll fix myself. I will eventually get
out
there.
We'll rebuild you, Mike.
You know, like today was the day. Today was the day for me where I was going to go join my pals, be out there,
moving
around, and the right side just will not allow it to happen, but that's okay. I will tell you that if I sound a little different today, I was in here like a busy little beaver all day yesterday, tweaking, dusting,
cleaning,
removing, moving cables, getting rid of cables, organizing cables. I am one third of the way there. I have not completed
progress
the project.
Progress is nice, right? It's like nice to see a little less cluttered.
By the way, Rob, there will be a massive package arriving at your door at your home.
You're too kind.
When you get it, inventory it and let me know if we are fortunate enough to unload it. Because
we will. Absolutely.
We have a lot of brand new equipment that we're not using. I also found an extra Apple dongle.
Yes.
Isn't that? Yeah. Woo! How about that? And that's coming your way as well.
In the miscellaneous box.
there's organization within the box?
No.
Oh, okay.
I threw everything into one box and I called it... The miscellaneous
we'll take
box.
What we can get.
Yes. And it's not labeled. You'll just see a box and
we'll recognize them, Mike.
Yeah,
you'll
go through everything. You'll say, oh, that's a big piece of equipment. That's a solid piece. Yeah. Oh, this must be the miscellaneous box.
Miscellaneous.
Just stay tuned, folks. If you want to set up a fully functioning podcast studio, we're your one-stop shop
buy,
for equipment.
Sell, buy,
we've got
sell,
it. We've got
sell,
it.
Sell,
we got
buy,
it.
Sell.
So it's live show week on the Mike O'Mara Show. I will be heading into town on Friday. Looking forward to it. We've been adding some last little stuff. We do a little prep for our live shows.
A lot of post-show meetings.
This, I should tell everybody, you know, we've done these massive production live shows. This is not going to be one of those. We're going to do the regular podcast with just a few bells and whistles.
Right.
And it's going to be an intimate group at the DC Improv, about 285 people that are going to be in the room. And we're going to be looking forward to doing our regular live show, live podcast with a studio audience. That's going to be fun for us. And so we look forward to seeing you. If you're not going to the show and it sold out very quickly, please make sure to come and join us across the street at the Mad Hatter on Saturday. We'll be there probably about 5:30 in the evening, and we'd like to meet everybody. It should be a lot of fun. Now, Oscar, we have two ways to go here.
Yes.
I can interview your classmate, your accomplished, classmate, or we can ask you about Halloween. I'd like to go with the classmate.
Oh, classmate.
First.
Halloween, we can table that. That is a trail of tears. This is actually a happier, more interesting conversation with Mike.
So,
colleague Thomas.
Oscar over the summer completed his Masters of Business Administration at the Robert H. Wasp School of Business at the Robert H. Smith School of
That happened this year. Why didn't you mention this?
That was so long ago.
You really should have talked about it, Oscar. About
Oscar
getting your master's.
Spent a lot of hours in the 1% library in the Robert H. Johnson School of Business at the University of Tulsa, and we are
Maryland.
That's exactly where it was. And it was a grind. We were with you for that grind because you would come in on days where you were, you know, doing 50 different things. And the one thing I remember, and I will always remember this about your MBA program, is there were no weekends.
No weekends.
You had many, many Saturdays and Sundays where we would have something planned or you would be turning people down because, you know, there was no rest for the weary.
Workload.
It's an intense, concentrated way of doing it. I mean, sometimes people get into that program right after they got out of undergrad and they go right into it and then they kind of lollygag through, you know, the program after the fact. You did it while you were working and that's what a lot of people do.
Well, and the majority of people that were in the program were executives already, so they were balancing life, family, and work, right?
Yes. Well, please introduce your fellow student.
So I was able to make
fellow graduate.
The one value proposition that every programmer will give you is
your fellow MBA.
Yes.
There we go. Thank you.
You get to meet people from all walks of life in all professions, right? Which and essentially will build your network, but more importantly, it helps you build friendships outside of your current social circle. And Thomas Booth, who's in studio right now, is one of not just a colleague. I consider him a good friend. And what?
Hold on.
Yes.
My first question. I'm sorry. I told you they were going to be coming out of my pores.
Sure.
Thomas Booth.
Yes.
Do you have any distant ancestors that may have shaped American history? I'm sorry. I know you get it all the time, but I have to ask it because everybody in the audience just thought of the same thing. And then Oscar, continue with his introduction. But Thomas, could you? Were you related to the guy that shot the president?
Not that we know of. We're probably. Like 78% sure. But now with Ancestry.com, I mean, we haven't really dug back in because with the new tool, maybe there's something there we don't want to know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not something you really want to know, is it?
Yeah. We're comfortable in our ignorance.
Yeah. That is a fabulous answer. And please isolate that because we are trying to get them on the air as a client. You know, Thomas, you don't even know this, but seriously, that is my absolute number one on my hit parade. I haven't told you guys this, that Carl and I actually got our results back.
Really?
Yeah, we got our
results back.
Yeah,
so they come on as an advertiser, and then we can talk about it.
The revelation.
Yeah, absolutely, I'd love to, but continue with the introduction.
Yeah, and one of my first, introductions to Thomas was within the class ranks where we're having conversations, and I realized right away he's just like this alpha male where he will let you know how he feels about something, and he has no qualms about it.
To a fault.
How do you like the show so far?
I said, love it.
Right, smart man. Yeah. Smart man.
When I hear that, I get right to it because I'm kind of that alpha male too. All right, go
but
ahead.
But we also had another aspect of what our passions were in common is that he is an entrepreneur as well. But this entrepreneur, not me, Thomas Booth, is also an accomplished F-18 fighter pilot. And
now we're talking about rarefied air here. Wow.
And that's really where I started getting into a conversation with Thomas, which is in a whole nother level because I feel.
Turn the Sinatra off, please.
Have something for us.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe Top Gun.
How about Top Gun?
Danger Zone.
Kenny Loggins.
God, I swear to God, I work with Ethel Merman every day.
You wouldn't have it any
You've
other
got
way.
An F-18 fighter pilot. There you go.
See, but no one's laughing at Danger Zone.
All right. Wow. Wow. So go ahead, because now I'm dying to. Well, you know what? Hold on. We'll leave it at that for now because we do have to take a break. Yes. We have to come back. We'll ask, you know, I mean, I'm all about you and your MBA program, but he got jets. That's cool.
He got jets.
I just watched like Officer and a Gentleman like 2 weeks ago, too. I want to get jets, sir. I got no place to go. We'll take a break and come back right after this on the Mike O'Meara Show.
What's up, everybody? It's Rob Mayer from the Rob and Joe Show. It's that time of the year again, a new Rob and Joe promo. Joe's not even here. We're that lazy. Our fearless leader, Mike O'Meara, said we need new promos, and 7 months later, here I am. Yes, that's how creative we are. Check back for our next promo in 12 years when we break down the great Anthony Weiner, Mel Gibson presidential race. Rob and Joe Show, new episodes every week. Subscribe on iTunes. Download us on the app, robandjoeshow.com. See you in 2028, the year of the oxen.
You know what? I am so proud of those guys, really. I having Rob Mayer in the studio today was a lot of fun. And, you know, that's a show that I am truly proud of on the Broadcasting Network. Those guys are very, very funny. They got a great following. They're growing, I believe, Oscar.
Oh, yes, they are
on a weekly
growing.
Basis.
Absolutely.
So that's good stuff. And
you
thanks
haven't
to Rob
check them out.
For doing that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. I'm going to tell you about Sleep Number. You know I love Sleep Number beds. You know I sleep on a Sleep Number bed. And then after the fact, because I'll get all the good stuff in, and then I'll tell you a very brief story about my Sleep Number bed. Come into a Sleep Number store right now. I adore mine. You'll love yours. The Sleep Number bed lets me choose my ideal firmness. I can change it whenever I want, but I don't because I've got the perfect bed. I said it again last night, and I'll tell you why. I was lying in the bed, and I said, this is truly of all the things I own, this is one of my prized possessions, mm-hmm. and I mean that sincerely. Sleep IQ technology tracks my sleep, so I know exactly what to do to adjust, but I don't have to because I found the perfect sleep adjustment for me. Both sides, I can lift it up, I can put it down, I can adjust the firmness. Carla doesn't get disturbed when I'm jumping around. I don't get disturbed when she's jumping around. It's the perfect bed for couples. And according to Sleep IQ research, people who adjust their sleep number setting are 58% more likely to have improved sleep quality. My sleep number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65. Last night, my Sleep IQ score was a 95 again, and I feel great. Come in right now and experience the comfort of sleep number adjustability and save $400 on the C4 mattress. It's the lowest price ever. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 500 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by going to sleepnumber.com. Be sure to tell them Mike O'Mara sent you. And cut. Now I'll tell you what happened. It's a true story.
Okay.
My kid, you know, with his little 103 temperature, he yacked all over the Sleep Number.
Okay. Oh, no.
We had him watching a tune back there because he got to watch more tunes because he was sick. And then he yacked on the floor. And then we looked and he said, I yacked in there, too. And there it was. And I went into this, like, incredible, no! I mean, I was off to the store, got the upholstery cleaner, got the baking soda, did it. I mean, there's not even any shred of evidence that there was
ever
yakety-yak.
Well done.
Oh, nice.
Number.
Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have done it in my car. I would have just left it there. no, it's the way I feel.
That's
about
how much
the,
you love it.
Yeah, I
you
love
went
my
out
sleep
to make sure that it was
bed.
Clean.
Left the child alone to save the mattress.
So you are an F-18. Are you done with your intro yet? Because that was a little too long.
I there's so much to cover. There are actually a few different titles that I'm not sure are for public consumption. So I'll leave it as an F-18
so
pilot.
So Thomas, you are currently with the service. Are you serving our country? Or
I am. I'm currently a reservist that just got recalled to active duty. So I'll be departing for November.
Is that something you see coming when they do that, or
no? You sign up, so you have to know it's a possibility.
When they notify you, how do they do it? Do they call you?
I got a phone call and said, "Congratulations!"
Oh, I'm sure that must be nice.
Congratulations! You have the next 10 months.
You know, I sit here and when you say that to me, I suddenly realize the news headlines. When you get by all the crap of our election, you realize that we're in a pretty dangerous world right now with a lot of dangerous stuff going on. So, really, not surprising that somebody that's a reservist. Would be called up. Navy, Air Force, Army, what are we?
Navy.
You're a naval aviator.
Yeah, Navy.
Cool.
Did you go to Annapolis?
No, I went to Virginia Tech. I liked to have a good football team. although they're the academy's playing really well, and Tech, I think they're probably higher ranked than Tech.
So you're a Hokie?
I'm a Hokie, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, you know, it's amazing to me to think of the amount of training that requires, and then you just, I guess, continuously like to challenge yourself. So that's why it was on to the NBA as well, right?
That was it. It seemed like a next logical step. I finally feel like at 32, I was ready to go to school. So the rest was all just a prerequisite. If you wanted to fly in the Navy, you had to go to college. So begrudgingly, I went to college, was not ready.
How tough is the training for the actual, after you get through school and you do, I guess you pregame the, when did you know? Do you know when you're a freshman, a sophomore, that you actually, that this is a path you want to take, that you want to be a naval aviator? Or
there are probably a lot of families or parents or maybe even younger adults that are like, how do you get in? How does that happen, right? That's a great question.
Yeah, I think, so for me, I come from a family of military. My father was an F-4 pilot in Vietnam. So I grew up around it, and I think it was funny enough, I think because it was so real to me. Like I grew up in Beaufort, South Carolina, where there's a Marine Corps Air Station. So
beautiful
I saw,
place, though.
Right?
Beautiful
yeah.
place to get, cool place to grow up. I
would. Oh yeah, I think especially if you're into like the outdoors and water, et cetera.
Yep, absolutely gorgeous, and then you can tell the tourists because they come down and say, "Excuse me, where's the Beaufort
yes.
Inn?"
And they all have. I mean, the running joke is they all drive gray vans from Ohio, and they get in the traffic circles in Hilton Head, and they just go in circles around and around. Yeah. And you just, yeah, so they come in flocks every Saturday between Memorial Day and Labor Day.
I don't know how I found out it was Beaufort, not Beaufort, but I was probably one of those people who mispronounced it. But I love that area down near Baldhead Island and all that area.
Oh,
it's beautiful,
beautiful
down there.
And really, I mean, really so for me, just there was always F-18s flying overhead. So as a kid, it was actually kind of my backup plan. And I mean, I make no qualms. I was a pretty terrible student, just a hellion, you know, kind of that type A personality was unfiltered at age 18. So I think for me, that was kind of my
pure... F you, Mom,
pure,
I don't want asparagus.
Right. So, yeah. So everyone, like, what are you going to do with your life? Like, I'll probably just fly jets or something. Because, you know, my dad and all his friends, they...
You grew up around it.
Grew up around it. I mean, they were clowns. Like, if these clowns can do it, I can do it.
Well, you say no.
And I just... So I didn't give it enough respect going in.
It's funny
I
was when you say, when you say military family, every time you mention your dad, I feel compelled to play this sound.
Yes.
Sorry, you know, so, all right, sir, you get in there right now. Do it. Yes, sir. Was he a tough taskmaster growing up?
I probably had it right middle of the road. I mean, I've heard Oscar's stories. I think his father.
Not like the great
got beat.
Yeah, the Latin American culture is probably a little more tough.
They forget
the
rules, Mike.
Yeah.
You brought up something interesting. I'm sorry, Mike, to jump in. You said that these clowns can do it. Around the world, if you just took a random person and said, this guy's a jet pilot, that instills respect like almost no other reputation. Were you totally not aware of the fact that
right,
jet
but he's
pilots,
also my dad.
Yeah, you know, so
no,
did that
no one
defuse
has respect
it?
For their dad.
They don't understand.
They
don't understand.
Yeah, yes. the growing up with them since age. I mean, and so in the military communities, we all move. So you have your own. I mean, the military brat term is worn with pride.
Right.
Probably the only time the word brat is worn with pride.
I think we all have our vision of what that takes based on movies. We all watched Officer and a Gentleman. We all watched Top Gun. We see what the training is. So you go to Virginia Tech, and then it's off to, is it right off to flight school out of college? How does that work?
Right. So you you apply in your, God, it's been so long now. Senior year of college, you apply for, you know, this is your dream sheet.
Right.
And I was a just abysmal student in college, 2.6 history major. I think I had the lowest.
You had a 2.6?
Yeah, lowest non-technical GPA of anybody in my year group to get an aviation slot.
And but how does that work? How are you able to pull
it's
that?
It's because he's got a supercomputer for everything else. I'm telling you. In our class, he was the first guy to figure something out before anyone
else.
I
was not ready to be in college. I was just there. So I just had to graduate.
A 2.6? Wow.
Oh, man. I was just so bad at college. But I was
smart.
Yeah, I was in shape. I took care of, like, and I maxed everything else. And my commanding officer at the time was a fan, so he gave me a good letter of endorsement, and
this is your ROTC.
ROTC,
officer?
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
I was fortunate enough to get the pilot slot, and then I got to Pensacola, Florida. And
it's right to Pensacola.
It is. So you do your training every summer between your university, you know, experience, and so I finished my last training, got commissioned in August of 2005, and by September I was in Pensacola in the pool. To get started with flight school.
My apologies if I'm geeking out about this.
Top Gun school.
The fact is this, I find this fantastic, and I never talk about it. I really rarely talk about it, but my mom's first husband was a naval aviator way back when and was killed at the end of World War II.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm fascinated, always been fascinated by this, and the fact is that, so you're a 2.6 student at Virginia Tech. You get in because you've got some other skill sets that people recognize, and then... I just get the hearing your story. I picture a kid that's getting down there, and it's a it has to be a reality check for you because no messing around once you get to Pensacola, right?
I think the reality check kind of hit, right when the flying actually started. Before it was, you know, they at the time they kind of adjust the scores, you know, based on what you're going to get, based on the needs of the Navy. So. Right at the when I showed up, they really didn't need pilots. So the
oh, so you don't even know you might be a mechanic or something like
no,
that.
No, I mean, or if you're gonna finish one, and then if you do finish, what you're gonna fly. So when I showed up, they're like, "We really don't need pilots. Congratulations for getting here, but you have to have a 90 average to pass."
So in other words, to get the just like the officer and a gentleman to get jets. You have to be at the top of your class,
you
right?
Just, right. It's kind of like passing. Okay, so once you start flight school, it's like starting from scratch. And every stage is like showing up and being a rookie, plebe, freshman, rush, pledge, you know, all
and
it's
is
the
there
warrior,
a lot of the
scum
DI
of the
stuff?
Scum.
Is there a lot of the DI stuff, too, where the drill instructors are out there making you do, you know, physical
stuff? No. It's really all, they have enough to torture you with in the plane that they don't really need to, they don't really need to physically assault you.
Oh, really? So there's not running, you know, we're going to run 6 miles today,
no, that's
or we're going to do any of that?
That's all the prior to getting your pilot slot. But once you show up, you know, so your first 6 weeks is, you know, they'll put you in the shell of a helicopter and drop you in the water and spin you upside down and then say...
So that stuff's the real...
Yeah.
And the G-force training oxygen deprivation and that kind of stuff.
That did. That all happened. Yeah, that was interesting.
I'm
so geeked out on this because I'm so fascinated by it. No, because it's so foreign to me, and I'm so fascinated by it because I think in terms of, you know, when you see some of the stuff that you guys go through, like the oxygen deprivation chambers, and when you go through, did you early on say this is for me? Did you know you kind of dug it? Is that how did it work when you got down there?
I guess I always just, you know, assumed that this was part of the process. I knew I wanted to do it in college, and so when I was fortunate enough to get my foot in the door, it never really.
Aren't going to fail.
No, exactly. And it wasn't the, you don't challenge. I'm like, okay, what's next kind of thing. And, you know, you always knew it was a possibility to not get through, but you have to figure again, like, maybe I didn't give the whole process enough credit while I was going through it. But again, I always just harken back to like my dad and his
buddies. Sorry, Thomas, I'm going to say for our listeners' sake, you had ice water in your veins.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say. We're going to take a break here. We'll continue on this line, and we got to get to the most important thing. What it's like to be a classmate of Oscar Santana.
Yes. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That's tougher. That's tougher than ditching out in the middle of the Bay of Fundy or wherever bay it is. Or what's the Saudi Arabian one? What's
Gulf
the
Gulf of Oman or the Indian Ocean?
The Indian Ocean, yeah.
Sea snakes.
Thanks. Thanks, Flyboy. All right, we're going to take a break, and we will come right back with more with Thomas Booth, Oscar's classmate and F-18 pilot and all-around good guy right here on the Mike O'Bara Show. Hey, Oscar.
Yes, Mike.
You know, even though it's the end of summer and Labor Day is behind us now, we're still going to be heard each and every weeknight right here on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station. What do you think of that?
I'm super happy. Boom, bam.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's a great promo. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by CISO. If you love comedy, you're going to love CISO. CISO is comedy for comedy nerds by comedy nerds. CISO, it's spelled S-E-E-S-O. It is the new on-demand, ad-free streaming service that brings you the best comedy ever, all in one place. Bingeable comedy anytime, anywhere, and you can do it on virtually any device with no commercials. I love CISO. My favorite part, they've got every episode of SNL ever. Saturday Night Live, I can go back and look at those vintage episodes that I was watching in high school. They're incredible. If you like British comedy, they've got the entire Monty Python catalog. Rob, you're digging CISO on a daily basis,
too. I had
too.
A great moment with Carrie. I was watching Bajillion Dollar Properties. I'm almost done with it. It is a totally bingeable show. It's a parody of reality, like shows about real estate, but right. It sounds in passing like a real show. So Carrie's on the couch, and I'm watching this show that sounds like, you know, like Property Brothers, right. And they're doing all this outrageous stuff. She finally says, "What the hell is that?"
So it's so accurate.
It is so accurate that if
you're not, you're watching a real reality,
and it's got
show.
The right music and everything. It's so great. You've got to watch this show. It's so
They've
fun.
They've got original content, stand-up, improv, sitcoms, classic stuff, brand new comedy as well, as Rob was telling you. CISO has it all. Right now, our listeners can try CISO free for 2 months when you use promo code TMOS at checkout. After that, it's only $3.99 a month. Just go to SEESO.com right now.
When?
Right now, to sign up for 2 months free with the promo code TMOS at checkout. That's CISO.com, promo code TMOS. The critics have spoken. CISO is the future of comedy. I would be remiss if I did not mention the fact that I said it last week, and I say it again, and it's official. This World Series now falls into the epic category.
Oh, yeah. Tonight's the night.
You called it.
The degree of epic will be based on the game tonight. It could be another blowout. You never know. It could go down to the wire, but I think anybody that is even remotely
we all won, Mike.
A baseball fan, the America won with this, and you know what? God, do we need it, huh? I don't know how you look at it in relation to the election, but this, when you've got a game seven between two markets that won 50-plus years, the other 108 years that haven't won, This is probably going to be a little bit of a distraction from all the old
welcome
election stuff. So, yeah, a tremendously welcome distraction. And, I'm sitting there and I'm going, go Cubs. And then I see the 104-year-old woman that's the Cleveland fan. And I'm like, oh, God, I'd love him to win it for her. Terry Francona, he's had his share of success. But, you know, he was kind of pooped on by the Boston Red Sox. And I don't know. There are a lot of great stories in this World Series. Why? Why are you laughing?
That's a category.
That's really gross.
It's, if you're into that thing.
Why? Pooped on means figuratively. Come on.
Okay.
For Christ's sake, okay?
They do a lot of weird stuff in that pregame. I just didn't know what they showed.
That pregame. Oh, by the way, the pregame on Fox is as bad as a broadcast can possibly get. Pete Rose, A-Rod. I mean, I know they're like they're villains of baseball history, but they're also bad broadcasters. And Pete Rose, whoever told you, hey, that hair looks good on you.
Yeah.
Just comb it
back
forward.
Back to Vegas with your Sharpie. I'll pay for your autograph there.
Exactly. You were going to say something, Oscar.
So I wanted to mention, if you're just joining us on the show, I have a colleague of mine, classmate of mine from my
cohort,
my time in business school, Thomas Booth, and he's an F-18 aviator. And what drew me to Thomas outside of the ice in his veins and the way
his square-jawed
handsomeness
he presented, I was really blown away by the methodical approach he took to everything he would actually pursue, whether it was an entrepreneurial project or it was a project that was assigned to us. And we started working in groups together. And I remember on our downtime, I was like, hey, man, what's it like to land on a carrier? And then I'm expecting like a quick 1-2 answer. But I sat there just... I said, who does this? Who has the mind to do that, right?
There's not a little boy out there listening to us right now that is not fascinated by that. I'm somebody that is so geeked out that on multiple occasions, and I mean multiple occasions, I will sit on YouTube for a good chunk of time and watch carrier landings because I find it so incredibly fascinating. Maybe it's because my mom's first husband did it and did it with propellers. But, you know, back in the day with those old fighter planes when they were first, aircraft carriers were the first thing.
You've also been a flight simulator guy forever. You love to pretend to do it yourself. I mean,
but I'm primitive also,
from the Xbox to
your
iPhone.
I'm also phobic. So there's the weird little
complicated
thing. I would be the guy in the chamber, you know, to be like, get him out. Get him out. You're DOR. So.
Could you ask, and Thomas, you probably don't realize this, and if you could just the same way that you explained to me, you probably say it to everybody that asks you, one of the hardest things to do is to land on a carrier at night, right?
Yes.
And when you are approaching, you mentioned that you only have a certain number of seconds. There's so much geometry happening as you're approaching the actual carrier. Could you take us through that just briefly, just for Mike, because I know, and our listeners, I know that people would love to get that perspective from a pilot.
Yeah, so I'll do my best. But going back to your point, Mike, and I think it's probably just having a sense of, you know, even though I was a 2-6 history major, I do have a sense of history. But those guys with propellers, straight decks back in the day, that's who we all believe probably had ice in their veins. Because there's a crazy stat that up until like 1970 something, when they invented the carrier with the deck that's at an angle rather than straight.
Right.
Even at that point, if you were a carrier aviator for greater than 4 years, you had a 50% chance of dying.
Whoa. And the bravery is incredible. And the fact is that I should point out that my mom's first husband, this was, I think, 6 months after the armistice. And so this was 6 months after World War II was over. They were getting ready. She was getting her vaccinations, getting ready to go to the next duty, which was going to be in the Philippines after the war, and kind of looking forward to it, as a new adventure, when she got the telegram. And that's how she got it. You know, you see these World War II movies where they come up with the chaplain and they walk it. She got it by a telegram. That's how she was known. And her father received the telegram and had to sit her down and tell her that. And, they talked about pilot error when they said after World War II they were on these old carriers and the war was over and everybody was kind of chilling. They'd been through hell and back, a lot of these guys, and they were ready to go home, and the planes probably weren't in the same maintenance condition they were when they were in the heat of battle. And his I think one of his roommates at the academy actually was on the carrier with him, said it wasn't pilot error. It was actually the engine just quit when he went off the deck of the carrier. Mm. But, you know, it there's so many factors that play into it, even today, right? When
flying any
plane onto a moving ship. Right?
So that we just, once we kind of invented some of these safety systems and check, we have a whole team of folks that spend their entire career trying to make an inherently dangerous activity as safe as it can possibly be. But, you know, it got to the point where it's safe enough where we actually grade the landing. Whereas back in, you know, your mother's first husband's day, like you arrived. Check. Like, it was a pass fail. Nailed it. The plane has
you're
no
fine.
Wings. The prop is fine, but I made it back.
Made it. I'm there. Yeah, that's the way it goes. And the thing that amazes me, Thomas, is that, like so much of our military activity around the world, we sit back here in this incredible bubble. And you hear about, I forgot the number of strikes that I heard the president talking about, how many airstrikes there have been in Syria as we're fighting ISIS from the air. That's how we're doing it. And so this is happening every single day, multiple times, and we've got brave guys that are going that. I mean, nobody pays it. You know, you don't see on the news every night, here's how many particular sorties were flown in this particular area. You don't hear about it, but there are people putting their asses on the line every day. And every time you go up in one of those things off a carrier, you're putting your ass on the line.
Yeah.
And I have a tremendous amount of respect for people that do that.
The best part is after that harrowing experience, you get to come back and try to land at night, which is always,
God.
A little icing on the cake.
You ever land at night in a storm?
Yes, there's actually, it's funny, I got my little 10 minutes of fame, obviously, besides this.
Thank you.
So, yeah, of course.
He's classy, too.
He's got to get out of here, Mike, and update his CV.
My fame CV. Just a quick aside, Mike, if you want to get that Ancestry.com, I was just thinking about it. If they sponsor, maybe we could run my family and do a big reveal on the show.
Oh,
Ancestry.com. Are you related to a murderer? You know, it could be a whole segment.
If we have
presidential assassin, more than a murderer.
Yeah,
exactly. As soon as we put him through the metal detector, he's welcome back.
Yes. So DiscoveryChannel.com has a series called Mighty Ships, and they actually did a profile on the USS Nimitz. They did that while we were on our work up to our first deployment in 2009.
Nimitz was the biggest carrier for a long, long time.
It was correct? The first, the Nimitz class. It's kind of that new nuclear carrier. Once they kind of knew what they were doing by putting nuclear reactors on ships, big ships, the first one was, I can't remember now, it was maybe the Kennedy, but the first time they put nuclear reactors on a ship, they were like, we don't know how many to put on here. So they put on four. And it was grossly overpowered, and so they filled it with concrete.
Seems like a lot, doesn't it?
I don't know. I mean, it's bigger than a submarine.
It is warm on here. This deck is so warm.
But our teeth have never been whiter.
So then with the Nimitz, they kind of, corrected Kentucky windage on how to build an aircraft carrier. But yes, the Nimitz was that flagship carrier, and they visited and... they actually were able to capture one of the worst experiences I've ever had on film with an off the coast of California in a preparation for a night landing. The seas were like 12 feet and it was just, I mean, there's no light whatsoever, because in San Diego they have the marine layer. So once you're below the marine layer, you can't see anything. You're like flying in a dark bowl. So then you just trust the carrier, trust your guys on the deck, and you hope
God.
To get it done. So, yeah.
So you landed in those conditions.
Yes, it was, it was great. It was with a pitching deck, everything. But you have to practice, because you can't hope that when you're fighting a war that there's not going to be rough seas.
So, I mean, they're doing this not only when you're in an active situation over in the Middle East, but when you're in a training exercise, you're doing it all the time. And if you go up in any condition, correct?
Right, absolutely. You have to. I mean, the enemy gets a vote, too. So you got.
What is the biggest challenge of all about actually the moment of landing, say, in a, when you've got a visual, when you can actually see the deck? What is what do you have to be aware of more than anything?
When do you know to bail as well, just as a follow-up?
They usually tell you to get out from the deck. No, but right. the worst part, and actually it's at night, is that you don't want a visual because your eyes will lie to you. You're sent your your senses are at that time your almost worst enemy. So you have to stay on your instruments only. And the worst part is like you can see. So you have to train your body to not look even though you can see. Because it feels like the expression is a turd off a tall moose. It literally feels like you're just falling out of the sky. And so if you trust your instincts, you'll just keep adding too much power and you'll fly away. And you won't
so when you go back to active duty, will you be on the FA-18
no,
again?
No, I've successfully promoted out of all the cool jobs. I told Oscar that previously.
Okay.
So now I'm a subject matter expert. I brief the generals and admirals on what we're doing. And I'm a really good PowerPoint guy, so it's definitely not as sexy.
You are underselling what
yeah.
you do.
Yeah, so it's...
He's able to articulate.
You're a good PowerPoint guy. Is there a way you could come to the DC Improv and run our PowerPoint?
Yeah.
They're notably PowerPoint.
How dare you,
do we have any admirals in the audience?
Yes. would you like an update?
You know, may I be the show representative? I know we all feel the same way. Thank you so much for your service.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Yes.
You know, we have people every day that are doing what Thomas is going to be doing for the country, and I think it just goes underreported and underdiscussed as we sit here and beat each other's brains in politically. I think we don't pay enough attention to the fact that there are brave people every single day. In the air, on land, everywhere, at sea, doing the jobs, and really doing it with no questions asked. And I think it's amazing, and we're still blessed in this country to have those kind of people like Thomas that do what they do. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So
thank you
very much for all of us when we out, you know, while we're out here talking about whether they're putting Reese's Pieces in the new Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. all right, now quick, because we don't have much time. I've only got a few minutes, but this is important too. Oscar Santana.
Yes.
Comes to us a couple of years ago, comes to me first, and says, I want to be pursuing this line of education. I'm going to be getting this MBA. I was stunned. I was shocked. I thought immediately that, you know, I didn't know whether he was going to do this. You know, his academic record was kind of so-so, but he dove into it with both feet. And I will tell you something, Thomas, this occupied him so much. On the show, I give him about 30% for that year. But the fact is, when he would come in, he was talking
lower
about...
Lower than a 2.6.
That's rough.
He was talking about the projects, and he was bringing his circle back and all his jargon
he
from his...
He was circling back. Not
he
bringing,
was circling back. He
circle
was drilling
back.
Down. He was doing all the things that... all the speed. He loved it, and I'm curious how you would rate... Oscar Santana, you know him by another name.
All right, yes.
How you would rate Oscar as a student in the Robert H. Smith MBA program?
So Oscar mentioned he was, you know, kind of impressed with my methodical approach. I was impressed with his less than methodical approach. He had a very artistic, right, hey, we're going to get this done.
But entrepreneurial.
Entrepreneurial. It just was, everything was possible at all times. And
I'm going to focus on this podcast right now because I think this is going to, hey, look, a rabbit. There I go. Yeah. All right. You know, right. Off to another podcast.
Oh, we're going to land on this carrier. It's going to be amazing.
So I think I definitely appreciated another outlook. And I think to Oscar's point, the benefit of that cohort is you get 44 individuals from different walks of life with different processes and kind of being forced to solve problems with them in a non-military manner was eye-opening to me. And I always know I appreciated Oscar always got the tutor, so we all kind of piggybacked on that whenever
I would pay for
it.
Them, Mike.
So Oscar
paid
was
for
always,
a little extra. That's what Zoom
sure,
helped you out a little bit,
so
right?
Did, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so absolutely. I think that was... was it corporate finance?
Oh, yeah.
We got through?
No, accounting. We rolled out in accounting first. Yeah. Anything I knew I would need to help, I padded, I stacked the deck. I said, I need someone to come and talk to me privately. And then Thomas was there as well.
May I ask a question of Thomas about Oscar in school?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Because I know that you probably are very proud of the fact that you have a military background and you're a jet pilot. How much did Oscar hide the fact that he was a disc jockey?
I can't
hide
remember.
It at all.
I don't think anybody.
No, I was honest, proud of it.
Yeah, I think somebody brought it up, and you know, just it was kind of. I didn't know how to process it at the time. Like, wait, you have two last names? What's going on here? why?
Witness protection program.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm immediately thinking. So I started sitting further away, you know, at
good plan,
and away from windows. It was definitely. Yeah, I think meeting anybody from a different walk of life, because there was a pretty significant contingent from the military. I think there was probably about 8 to 10 of us. And so almost a quarter of the class had some form of government or military service, but that still didn't, you know, didn't dictate how we did things.
And okay. So how long is your service going to be? How long are you going to be, you know, back?
So it'll be about 10 months. So I'm going to be right. So it was just one of those quick stints, you know.
When that comes down, when they give you that phone call, and you may have plans, you've just got an MBA. You're obviously out there planning the next
phase. He had a lot of plans.
I had a lot of plans.
That puts a little wrinkle in things,
it
doesn't
does.
It?
It does. So the concern was, so I left active duty, and when you leave active duty, the Navy, I don't know about the other services, they're kind enough to say, well, since you joined the reserves right after active duty, we'll leave you alone for 2 years. Okay. So I was actually still in the impression that my two-year waiver was in effect, and when I got the call, I brought this objection to Latin, and they were like, well, that ended last week, so you're up. And so I said, if this is going to happen every 2 years, I'm going to reevaluate my affiliation, because I would like to get started with a civilian.
All right, I'll ask you a specific question. Sure. 1 to 5, rate Oscar, give him a number.
Oh, God, and what? I mean, in his PowerPoint skills? Like
the
5.
Whole thing, Thomas, I don't win. You know what? I'm just like Oscar.
Classmate,
I'm in 40 different
5,
directions.
I would say, yeah.
He's
classmate,
analytical.
Yeah.
Classmate,
I mean,
5. The actual quality.
5 is the worst.
Yeah.
Quality as a student.
That's pretty subjective. I'd go as a student.
As a student.
I mean, he's better than a 2.7.
That's fine. We'll take
that's
that.
That's why I pay for the tutors. Mike.
Yeah.
Question has nothing to do with Oscar. I'm not going to get any dirt on him. I know how hard he worked. This whole Russia thing. How dangerous should we as Americans feel that country is, and what kind of threat they represent? Do you feel like this is a pretty serious situation with just their behavior in general? It's a very general question. You don't have to be super specific, but how worried are you about Russia?
I would say it's, without getting into too great a detail, it's probably one of the most complicated geopolitical situations we're going to face in the foreseeable future. And Soviet Union's back. I mean, that model, but I think what we can, you know, kind of take comfort in is our, you know, there's no confidence in their markets. There's no confidence in their leadership. So all of their intellectual property is leaving. All of their money is leaving. So eventually the country itself will be hollowed out. And if we can just wait it out, it just as an option, eventually just like it's a Cold War again. There's a lot of opinions. That's just kind of mine, but
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Wow.
I like that. That's simple. It's easy to understand. I appreciate that. Well, Thomas, we appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
And and sharing that with Oscar. I could ask 1,000 more questions, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's news you may not need, and we'll let Thomas hang out with all the smelly disc jockeys.
It's great. It's better than a hockey locker room.
Hi. This is a random listener, and I've been doing a lot of thinking lately about Rob Spiewak's bag.
All right, that's sorry, no, you're not playing that one.
We have guests of all the ones you'd play. That one.
Yeah, judgment. All right. Oh, man. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
He looked like he was enjoying it.
This segment of our program is brought to you by Amazon. We love Amazon. Holidays upon us. Holidays should be fun, but they can also be a tremendous hassle. The best way to enjoy yourself this year is to use Amazon and take it easy. Amazon has everything you need and at the best prices. Just make sure to go through our portal. You see, anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tiny percentage. It doesn't cost you any extra, and it's the best and easiest way for you to support the friends at TMOS. If you need it or want it, Amazon has it, whether it's a Thanksgiving centerpiece, an electric carving knife, a new menorah, Christmas decorations, or gifts for your entire podcast family. Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website, or you can go right to the app. And I love the app, and we don't talk about it enough, but it's a little shopping cart right there, and that's how you click on that.
Yep.
You go right to Amazon.
Boom, bam.
And we get credit for it.
We do.
It's that easy. So relax this holiday season and shop Amazon, everybody.
News.
Glamma Magazine has announced its Women of the Year honorees. Are you ready?
Yes.
They include Olympian Simone Biles, Gwen Stefani, Zendaya, and Bono.
A woman.
Technically, he's a man of the year, but it's the first time they have honored a man along with their Women of the Year. The editorial staff at Glamour Magazine said they have always thought about perhaps adding a man to the list of Women of the Year, but their feeling is men get so many different awards, they shouldn't do that. But Bono apparently gets to cut through all that.
Hey,
for his humanitarian work. And congratulations to Bono for being Man, Woman of the Year.
Nice. Whatever it's called. I think it's very nice with his long hair.
I thought, I like Bono. That's why I led with that. A Brooklyn-based artist. Her name is Alexandra Rubinstein. And she is doing a service to women by creating a series of oil paintings. And these oil paintings depict male celebrities doing a service to women. That's the best way that I can phrase this. Her subjects, I'll get to the details as best I can in a second here. Her subjects include Drake, John Hamm, Justin Bieber, Robert Pattinson, James Franco, Ryan Gosling, Leonardo DiCaprio, and David Beckham. The pictures are obviously of an adult themed nature.
They're going spelunking, Mike. Spelunking.
Ah,
spelunking.
Wonderful.
For yes. That. They're not explicitly pornographic because they're from the women's point of view. If you get, you see?
And then you see.
You're putting it in your mind's eye right now, so you see the lady looking down at the. You don't see any of the actual work being done or plumbing. The guys all look like they're taking a little breather, as a matter of fact, and they're giving their partners some eye contact. That's why you're able to recognize the celebrities.
Sure.
That was part of her point. Here's her quote. The emphasis on female pleasure and foreplay is lacking in today's porn, as well as in mainstream media. The female point of view draws
That's
attention
a lie.
To and eroticizes men. Oscar, I'm with you. I'm with
you
100%.
Well, because they have a tab that says female. Yeah. You go there, and it's got the whole storyline for all of you that want to build up.
Yeah,
or in that particular act we're talking about in this news story, how many movies have you seen where it's like, all right, enough already.
30 minutes.
I swear to God. You know, are you getting ready to do the nasty, or are you trying to start a fire? What's going on here? anyway, she says the female point of view draws
Vincent is liking this. Vincent likes this joke.
It draws attention to and eroticizes men, making them the objects of desire, not the women. And speaking of that little fire reference, I've always been told that that's not the proper way to go about things.
Right.
That, you know, when you see that in film a lot, where it's kind of like, that's only in movies.
Right.
That's not the proper way. Okay. The
CGI.
Way,
what is the proper way, Mike?
Are we talking about starting a fire? Are we still on fire?
We're talking about that thing that the lady depicts.
I've heard
that it's a more subtle, gentle approach.
What skill set? What skills do they teach you at Top Gun school?
I'll save them, Thomas. Yeah. It's do the Oscar. I know the answer. It's do the alphabet. That's how you do it. All right. Anyway. Ellen DeGeneres has a talent for being legitimately funny without taking nasty shots at anyone. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, she's
nice. She gets slammed about it sometimes, too, and I think that's unfair. Well, there's a reason for the way she is. In an interview with Out Magazine, she says, quote, I was the punchline of a lot of jokes. I laughed at some, but I realized there's somebody on the other side. It's cruel. I've never liked mean comedy. You know, I can understand that you don't like it and you don't do it, but mean comedy can be funny too.
Of course.
That became even more important, she says, after I was the brunt of it. She's talking about back in the 90s after she came out. She says that she hit rock bottom after her original sitcom was canceled, but slowly she became more comfortable with herself and was able to be authentic, which she says is a big reason why her talk show has found success. And I will still tell you that when it comes to award shows, where I don't think she gets nearly the credit she should, I think she's one of the funniest award
creative
show hosts, because that style of hers, it lends itself to monologues on a talk show and also that type of thing.
She has a wonderful talk show and she's a good fit there, but what people don't remember is that her sitcom was horrible. Whether or not, I mean, take the sexuality
terrible
out of it. It was just a bad, bad sitcom. It was that being canceled might have been the best thing that could happen.
Wasn't
to her.
There a school of thought that she came out, and I remember this. This is part of the meanness that was out there.
Right.
That she came out because the ratings were tanking so much.
Oh, I think that was a very popular theory at the time.
They needed that little infusion, and we'll never know whether that was true or not. According to the American Chemical Society, you can die from a sugar overdose if you eat 13.5 grams of sugar for every pound of your body weight in one sitting. The average American man at 195.5 pounds, if he eats 251 Reese's peanut butter cups, 155 fun-size Snickers, or 102 fun-size packages of M&Ms, he has a chance of dropping dead. because that's how much sugar I would say anybody would drop dead. Well,
that's why I always do the math before I eat candy.
The average American woman weighs 166.2 pounds. She could die if she ate 214 Reese's peanut butter cups. So Mike, that's the statistics right there.
You will recall a story in February that we talked about here on the program. A man died after running the Krispy Kreme challenge in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a sugar thing, wasn't it?
I mean, they don't claim it's a sugar thing. They claim it's a heart attack situation.
What?
But if you remember, we went back to when we did our road trip to Florida and back when I ate the 6 Krispy Kreme donuts and I went into a coma.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You were ill. You
yes.
were feeling ill
can,
after that.
Can you imagine eating more than that and just your insulin level?
I couldn't
level?
Imagine yeah. it, Oscar. I could accomplish.
Oh, no. But the ratio
and
of weight to donut.
Could triple it.
Yeah.
Weight to donut. You guys are in the safe zone.
But also,
the
you
safe
realize,
zone.
It's a question of volume, too.
Silver lining.
The thing
lining.
About the Krispy Kreme donut is the Krispy Kreme donut enters your mouth and experiences shrinkage.
Yeah.
Shrinkage. So it gets smaller. That's the way
what
that
you
happens.
Have, Mike, with the Krispy Kreme donut is the
yes.
perfect.
Now let's talk. Let's bring in our expert, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring in the F-18 fighter pilot of the donut world right here.
Mike,
right.
What it is they have perfected in their home base in Cary, North Carolina. They have perfected the sugar and fat delivery system.
Okay.
Because
right.
you've got that beautiful, beautiful glazed donut that upon putting it in your mouth
right.
dissolves like cotton candy.
It dissolves
it's
like
gone.
Yeah,
and
dissolves.
That's why someone, even a rube like Oscar, can eat 6 of them. And before you even realize it, it's
right.
like doing shots is what it's
not
like.
It's not the volume in his tummy. It's the sugar in his bloodstream.
That's
correct?
Why when we were driving through the southern part of Virginia,
we thought he was dead.
All we heard from the back of the car was, all stuff we left on the cutting room floor of the documentary.
God, that was a great drive. It's kind of where this show was born.
Just the three of us.
It was.
Don't you think it's really where this show was born? I think
yes.
it was. Meanwhile, in the car in back of us, take.
Mike, the Tahoe in back of us was last spotted in Colorado.
And they all had snot on their mustaches. moving right along. According to a new study, the average person is stressed out for about 2 hours a day, which means we spend about 5.5 years of our lives stressed out. Mm. Here are the 10 most common things that make us stressed. Number one, being late. Number two, traffic. Number three, our own health issues, a family member's health issues, deadlines, not being able to afford things, putting on weight, telemarketers, being in debt, being stuck in a long line. The good news with this list, that's all 10, by the way, that I just got through.
Good.
The good news is that I found my costume for next Halloween. I'm going as Mr. Stress. I swear to God, this list was written for me right here. That's the way that goes, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. And now a little something. There's a 54-year-old guy from Largo, Florida, my home state. Everybody.
Hey, is that near you?
They're all near me. That's
of course.
The way I look at it. Largo, Florida. His name is Edward Dorsey, and he was arrested on Sunday morning for allegedly hitting his wife. This is not good.
Oh, no.
He was drunk at the time, and the cops took him to the emergency room to get cleared by doctors before they took him to jail. As an ER doctor and nurse were checking him out, Edward pulled out his glass eye and threw it at them.
Oh, not okay.
Edward Dorsey from Largo, Florida. As far as we know, no one was hurt by the flying eye, but Edward was hit with a felony charge of battery on an emergency medical care provider. Why do I think that statute is like only in the state of Florida? The charge is battery on an emergency medical care provider. Well, it doesn't matter what the statute is. It brings us to today's Florida slogans of the day.
Oh, a new motto, yes.
Yes, Florida, you won't believe your eyes. Florida, see for yourself. Florida, don't blink or you'll miss it because it's on the floor. All right, that's it. Sorry. Florida slogans. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Class I.
The TMOS Elite Whiskey Society presents Questions for a Whiskey Drinker.
Here's a letter from Will in New Hampshire. Will writes, why whiskey? Well, Will, because whiskey puts hair on your chest, not on your palms.
Check out the TMOS Elite Whiskey Society on Facebook or in bars where fine whiskeys are sold.
By the way, I believe our friend Suzanne is starting a new wine enthusiast society the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah, we've got all three corners covered now because we have whiskey, we have beer, and now there's wine.
Very exciting. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. You deserve the best, right? Am I right? Right,
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 right. Right.
Champagne, caviar. What about laughter? Merry, joyous laughter. Would you like that? Sure you would. Please allow me to introduce you to the weekly TMOS sixth episode. Each week we record a sixth episode of the show, the bonus show. That's what it's called. It's uncensored, it's commercial free, and it can be yours if you subscribe to the 2016 TMOS bonus package. You'll get full access to all of the 2016 bonus content, plus the entire bonus show anthology at over a 25% savings. It's all waiting for you at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Look for the banner marked TMOS bonus packages when you subscribe. You'll get an entire year of access from the day you sign up, and with the holidays approaching, it makes a great gift. So whether you want to buy it, give it, or renew it, click that bonus banner and get her done. The TMOS bonus package, order it right now because you deserve the very best. Before we open up the audio vault here, on a personal note, and a friend of TMOS, Robert Casto, lost his son Ryan to cancer this past, I believe it was Tuesday night, and just wanted to send my condolences out to their entire family. A lot of you may have followed Ryan's story. You know, there's nothing like losing a child. You can't even imagine what he's gone through, but Ryan's story has touched an awful lot of people, so power of the positive thoughts from the family at TMOS, please give him some thought today, and you can see a nice picture of Ryan on my Facebook page, which I posted last night, along with a note to his family. You know, it was I had the pleasure of speaking to his father about a month ago, and you know, this is just a terrible situation. He's a big supporter of the show, so our sympathies go out to Ryan Casto, safe home, and just wanted to pass that along. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Wednesday, November 2, 2016. Rob Spiewak.
Well, Mike, you called it. It is an epic World Series because it's going to Game 7.
Yeah. This is Russell. Cubs are forced to Game 7. Winning
so cool.
9-3.
So cool.
And a great moment last night. You know, I think there's only been 19 of them in World Series history when Addison Russell hit the Grand Slam.
2-0. High fly ball to left center. At the wall. Grand Slam.
Grand Salami in the sixth game of the World Series. The problem was, and this is for baseball purists too, it was not that great a game. You know, I kind of drifted off after
You're
that.
You're a Cubs fan. But,
yeah, you know, and then, boy, a lot of the Cleveland fans were bailing early. You never bail early in a baseball game.
Not a World Series.
It's a World Series.
You never bail, and you never bail when it doesn't matter if it's 8-0 or 9-0. You never know what's going to happen. Teams implode all the time in the World
the
Series.
The Nationals.
You know, now,
in the
somebody
playoffs.
Who was, I mean, you never
Nationals
know.
Always.
Oh, come on, boys.
People get pissed when you speak.
They
do. We
will
get
do.
Messages.
No, no. We're only making a joke. It's all.
We don't care. Yes. We're just making a joke.
Oscar's talking like he's drunk. We don't care.
Well, every time I say something negative about the Nationals, I get a three-page, how dare you, why would you say something like that? Could you please understand?
What Oscar is saying, Mike, is he's a Nationals fan just like
no,
you.
No, I don't care if they win or lose. I will go to a game and sit in a suite, but I don't care if they win or lose.
Yes. Well, you know, it's the long-suffering D.C. fan base for all their sports. And let me just say, after the tie last weekend, come on, Redskins. Okay,
Trent
we
Williams,
go.
Mike. Four games, he's out.
Yeah.
Really, he was
plays in
weed.
December again.
Yes. Well, he missed his drug test, which is the same as testing negative or positive for a drug test. So basically,
oh, that's a
by
shame.
Not going, you lose four games.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got time to get another tattoo. All right, very good.
Great moment in my living room last night, or as I call it, Mike, the sports center of Loudoun County, when I said to Carrie, look, a grand slam. She said, yeah, and the bases were loaded.
Oh, way to go, Carrie. Yeah. Carrie!
Nap time. All right. Are you celebrating, Mike, today? Are you going to celebrate your taco hero? Because everybody in America can get a free taco today between 2 and 6 p.m. So they
free taco at Taco Bell?
Yeah, because of the stolen base.
Oh,
you get a Doritos Tacos Locos, I believe. And President Obama was actually speaking. Dr. Salsa?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike, step up on the 4-inch platform. How's your hip feeling? I'm Dr. Salsa. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks. This has been Unenthusiastic Physical Therapy with Dr. Salsa. Oh, shut up. All right.
By the way, Mike, he sent a note. He's sorry he was late.
Dr. Salsa, I'll be here at 2:15, 45.
Taco Bell.
3:15. Yes.
So President Obama actually did a pep talk to get people out to vote and compared it to free tacos.
If you can find the time to get a free taco, then you can find the time to go vote.
That's a great
if
point.
You can find the time to go to Taco Bell, you can find the time to go to iwillvote.com, find your nearest early voting location, and cast your ballot. You can vote and then go get your taco.
Has there been a president?
That's essentially what he said.
Has there been a president in recent memory that has been such a surrogate for the next candidate? I don't remember any president on either side campaigning this vigorously for the nominee. It's been pretty intense. It's
no,
really
and
intense.
I love, you know what, I will so truly miss him. Just not take politics out of it. He seems like a fun guy. And the fact that he's up there using something in pop culture like the free taco to make people get out and vote, that's a cool move.
Yeah, you know, you're right, Mike, because I don't remember. And again, it's.
I don't remember like Bush or Clinton.
But Bush and Romney were like, we want to do this.
Yeah, he wasn't out there. Well, it has to do with popularity, too. The president's got some decent numbers going into this election cycle. But, I mean, out there on the campaign.
It's also it's a different era, especially with the social media in play, that you just see it everywhere.
Yeah, you see it everywhere. Yeah. And, you know, this is crunch time. I heard something interesting that this is officially, as far as the message is concerned, the last day. This is where they're going to take their messages. In the case of Trump, they're thinking he's going to slam Obamacare. And in the case of Hillary, it's going to be the temperament of Trump and that this is going to be what they're going to hit till the very end. But then again, with the way this election cycle is gone, you never know when something's going to break in the news.
Nope.
You never know.
Fun fact, Mike, President Obama will lose his Twitter handle POTUS. And the first lady will lose her FLOTUS Twitter handle. It will actually grandfather over and transition over to the new president and first lady.
Does that mean Bill is going to be FLOTUS?
Or what? No. Ah!
Yes.
Ah!
Absolutely.
No effing way.
There he goes. Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate it.
He's going to be doing a lot of private messaging.
And the national. He's going to chronicle all the tweets. I can't wait. Rob wins.
A FLOTUS is an upper decker.
Hey, buddy.
There you go.
All right. This is good because of Oscar's friend, Mr. Booth, being in studio. Let us close with this. A pilot for Qantas Airlines was flying, and his girlfriend was on the flight. I'm sorry?
Never crashed. Qantas never crashed.
That's right. That's right, Rain Man.
Qantas. It's absolutely never crashed. Qantas never crashed.
Hey, you want to take a bath?
No. Hot water for a baby. Hot water for a baby. Thank you. No. That was a Rob Spewag request right there. All right,
the not ahead. Ready for primetime players.
Oh, no.
So his girlfriend is on the flight, and they're flying to South America. He does this on the opening flight announcements. I think this is kind of cool.
We also have a very special passenger on board today, folks. Her name is Anna. She's traveling back to South America now to visit her family, and I want to make sure she comes back to me in Australia. So now that I have her complete attention, Anna. ¿Quieres casarte conmigo? Will you marry me?
That's a pilot?
Yeah, he proposed to her, and after they got at a cruising altitude and they turned off the seatbelt light, he came back and gave her a ring. She said yes. So, yeah, so if you're not cool enough being the pilot of a big jet, oh, yeah, while I've got your attention, I want this beautiful broad
Mile
to marry
High
me.
Club.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very,
and then
like,
off to the
way
bathroom.
Way to taint it, Oscar. Yeah. Way to taint the romantic moment. That's
he
great.
He said to the flight attendant, can we get a blanket over here? That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Wednesday. Wednesday, everybody.
That's it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Be sure and join us every day on the air online at MikeO'MaraShow.com. To mail us anything that doesn't stink or tick, our address is TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. All messages and birthday requests for our weekly mailbag segment can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Send them to him after midnight tonight.
Late tonight is when I will open the email, yes.
We're very excited to meet everybody. We'll be at the Mad Hatter right after our D.C. Improv Show across the street this coming Saturday. Be there about 5:30 p.m. A lot of people coming into town for our live show, and we're looking forward to meeting each and every one of you. Thomas Booth, good luck in your military career.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck in your NBA career, and thanks for all the cool F-18 questions being answered. We appreciate that. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
That's it. We got to get out of here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara reminding you to join us again for your favorite part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Yo, TMOSers, hook me up. It's Rob Mayer. I need you to watch my show on Comedy Central. It's November 6th, 11:30 p.m. It's called Heart of the City. It's myself and Kevin Hart. I'm going to be huge. Operation Leave Joe Behind. Hashtag Heart of the City. Hashtag Mayor of the City. Rob Mayer, Heart of the City, November 6th, Comedy Central. Watch me so I can say goodbye to you forever.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.